Hey, fuck, everybody.
I'm leaving.
Jesus Christ. That's making it in. That's making it into the cut. Hey, everybody. This is episode 294 of the Extra Features Podcast. Welcome in to another episode. Oh. This is all making it in, even. The audio, Simon dropped something and he has a Spider-Man shirt on. It's quite amazing.
I may or may not have spilled something over my, you know, my...
Your setup?
You know, thumb drives with all our podcasts on them.
Oh, joy.
Accidentally.
So, everybody, this is the first episode of the Extra Features Podcast. This is the remake because we just lost everything.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe I just did that. And I was trying to move it so I wouldn't do that.
But then you did exactly what you were trying to avoid. Anyway, I am Daniel. Do I go first or who goes first in this? Either way, I wanted to make my dog stepped on a bee joke. Just referencing the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. But yes, anyway, I am Daniel. Whoever's next.
I'm Simon, and I've spilled pop over everything I had on my table.
I'm Doug, and I'm not the rebooted Kevin. Kevin will be back, just not today.
No, we've seen Kevin in months, so who knows?
Do you need a minute, though, Simon?
No, I'm all good. Keep going.
Okay. And, yeah, so today we're talking about a bunch of movies. Simon, you had mentioned you had some movie news for us.
Now, this is like fresh movie news. Like, for me, it was fresh, probably a couple days old, but I hadn't heard anybody say anything about it. I think the movie's called A Simple Favor with Anna Kendrick and Ryan Reynolds' wife.
Blake Lively.
They're doing a sequel, and I was quite impressed. I'm like, I really liked that movie. It was quite a surprise when I saw it, so they're making a sequel. So that's my big movie news.
Is that the one that you said was probably only Doug who has seen it?
Yes.
I love A Simple Favor. I feel like that would have been on my top 10 of that year.
It was on my top 10. I think it made number 10.
I just love Anna Kendrick, so.
Yes. So do I.
I think that was 2017, right? So yeah, that would have been on my top 10. Was I on the show?
I don't remember. Yeah. Who knows? We let you on the show.
Yeah. Why'd you let me on anyway?
Well, every once in a while I... like people with beards, and I try to find new people with beards. I let people with beards on.
Trying to collect only us, like, beards. Infinity Stones.
They don't have beards. It's like the Infinity Stones, correct. Yeah. But I collect beards.
I'm
convinced if I can get five people on the show, all with beards at the same time, not like a goatee, I'm talking full beard, that I will have the power.
Choppy trimmed his the other day.
Yeah. Like, you know, like He-Man, I am the power.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not sure what the beard power will be, but maybe it'll be like the guy in Moon Knight at the end gets a cool staff. Maybe a staff will show up magically, and I'll get something cool out of it.
Very nice. Very nice.
I have no idea.
Or we could just help hide your homosexuality from your wife.
That would work, too.
That's what beards are for, so.
Yeah.
That's true. Oh.
Yes.
Well, that's why I had the intern hanging around with me for so long, because I mean, nobody would think I would touch him, so it's all good.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But, yeah, thanks for throwing me a bone, having me on here, man. It's been fun.
Well, you look really lost sitting in your closet every day, so I just had to bring you out.
The new one, yeah. It's closed now. Oh, and also my news. Hayden Panettiere is going to be reprising her role of Kirby in the Scream sequel.
I heard that too.
It's fucking awesome.
Okay.
I love that. I'm just curious to see what they do with that. And I love that character, so that's awesome.
See, that character didn't leave much of an impression on me, I'll be honest.
I think Hayden Panettiere, other than looking, you just don't want to listen.
I just love her. I think
that's fair.
I have a new kind of, I don't really have many transitions for films today, but Simon, Doug, if you guys would entertain me, I wanted to try something out. I made a little story for
you're
the film.
Take off your pants?
Oh yeah. Who says I'm wearing any, sir?
Well, usually you are.
Oh, well, you've never seen my bottom side during a podcast.
Now I'm happy we're not recording in the same room.
Yeah, that would be an event.
Hold on. We're going to put this to the test. I can't let that go. Sorry, I had to finish my cleanup. Stand up. Let's find out if you are wearing pants.
Drum roll, please. Pants. Wait.
Oh, man. Well, don't ask me to stand up then, because you're going to get a surprise.
Choose or die. Oh,
before we go in, has anybody started watching The New Kids in the Hall?
Yes. I'm watching one episode per night.
So am I. So
we're up to episode 5. So.
Oh, you're way ahead of me. I just started episode 1.
Okay.
And you know what I found out, Doug? When I'm going to perform bank robberies, clothes are optional. Who knew?
Apparently Dave Foley and Kevin McDonald knew.
That's awesome.
I was impressed with that. Yeah, I just started tonight. One and it is on Amazon. 8 new episodes, and Kids in the Hall to me are just one of the funniest troops ever.
Oh, yes. Canada! Sorry,
I've met all the kids in the hall.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet them in a hall?
No, actually, maybe one of them I did.
Okay.
Bruce McCullough was the hardest. Actually, he's not the hardest one to meet. Kevin McDonald's the hardest one to meet for me.
He plays. He's the one that played Pilkley or Pleakley on Lilo and Stitch, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
He's just the one that works the most. Like, Dave Foley pretty much does anything Dave Foley gets paid for. So he'll show up in Montreal. I met him in Montreal. Scott Foley in Montreal. Mark McKinney was in Montreal. Actually, the only one I didn't meet in Montreal was Bruce McCullough because he did a play here.
Okay.
And but it drove me nuts because I met Kevin McKinney. I still remember. Sorry, let's go off topic because it's us. We have to. In the Delta in Montreal. And I said, can you sign these? I go, you're the last one. He goes, I'm everybody's last one.
Kids in the hall? More like kids in Montreal.
Yeah, pretty much. I met Dave Foley at 3 a.m. drunk at a party.
Oh, really? Nice.
Completely smashed.
Oh, nice.
He doesn't drink anymore, according to Scott Thompson.
Well, me and him have
which is unfortunate because he was really funny drunk.
Oh, yeah.
But he's probably living a better life now.
I don't know. He's still funny, so I'm happy. Okay, sorry. Back to your story.
Yeah, all good. Yeah, I made a little tale for the films we're discussing on this episode. Like you know, I realized the other day that it's hard being alone, especially when I'm dealing with this unbearable weight of massive talent. So I asked Doug to marry me. Sadly for me, he was offended and said no, and then took out his mean guns and told me to choose or die, to either run or face the wrath of his dead heat.
That was good. I'll give that credit. That was not bad.
Thank you. I previewed it for Doug.
I will applaud you for that.
Oh, I see how it works. I'm cut out now. I understand.
I'll have you, how it works. Before the next time, Doug, I'll have you leave and then I'll preview it for Simon.
Okay. No, please don't. I want Doug and me to share the experience together.
Sharing
I'm
it?
A true friend.
Okay.
I won't spoil it for the next one.
Doug lets me use his barbecue. I'm all good.
Very good. So are we ready to get into the unbearable waste? Unbearable waste of massive talent. Unbearable weight of massive talent.
Well, I know.
There was a Freudian slip.
Carry me around. I get it.
Yay. And now it's directed by Tom Gormican, written by Gormican and Kevin Etten, starring Nicolas Cage as Nicolas Cage, Pedro Pascal, Tiffany Haddish, Neil Patrick Harris, and Ike Barinholtz.
Who would like to start?
I would like to start just by saying that I love this film because it respects the masterpiece that is Paddington 2.
Here we go again.
That's my start, and that's just, you know, I just want to get it out there, like that, like these guys get it.
It makes you want to be a better person.
It really, really does, you know. And then it kind of makes me want to cry watching it with Nicolas Cage. But for the actual movie, it's really this generally really fucking funny, and I like the plot.
I gotta say, This has some great moments in it. Absolutely great moments. But my major problem is not Cage. I know what I'm getting with a Cage film. I know how I feel about him. It's Pedro Pascal. It does nothing for me. It's the third or fourth film with him I've seen, and I'm like, you're a pretty face. I get it, but you don't do anything for me. But I did think he did something for me in the acid scene where they're trying to go over the wall. I was dying. I will give that full credit. That was funny. Tiffany Haddish doing the Tiffany Haddish thing. I'm done. Goodbye. I've seen enough of this one. She can go. It didn't do enough for me. I'm not that big a Cage fan, I think, to fully embrace this the way I should and the way it was laid out. I think it's fun. I think it's watchable. I don't want to watch it again, if that makes any sense. I just don't think I'm a big Nicolas Cage fan. I think if you love Nicolas Cage, this is your film. Mm-hmm. Like, this gives you everything. I mean, I don't need a 6-foot-high Nicolas Cage statue. You know? I don't need a lot of the stuff that happens in this film. It's just not for me, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I didn't enjoy it because it's not what I like in the movie. Yeah, you know, a lot of breaking the fourth wall to me, and maybe, and then they're not really, but I do feel because Nicolas Cage is playing Nicolas Cage. And then there's Nicolas Cage talking to him. Like, I don't care. Just, you know, it doesn't work for me a lot. I didn't hate, like I said, I didn't hate it. Just not for me.
I think Paddington 2 got in the way of here for you.
You think that was it? That they love Paddington. Hey, Paddington 2 just, you know, has a bad review on Rotten Tomatoes now.
It's not really? 100%. Did you write it?
No, it wasn't me that wrote it. And they're making a Paddington 3, too.
Oh, yay. And I can't wait for the more unbearable weight of massive talent for them to incorporate Paddington 3.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm kind of with Simon on this one. I like
check his
this.
Temperature.
I like this movie, but I didn't love it. It maybe it's because I just watched Adaptation recently a few weeks ago. I like that movie so much more. And I felt it was kind of similar in tones with Unbearable Weight. It wanted to say something about how powerful movies are and storytelling, but then it just got really silly. I did not like the whole CIA plot. The action I thought was rather poorly done, actually. But I did really like Nicolas Cage. I thought his performance was really good. Just, I don't know. I it just didn't work for me like I thought it would have worked.
Okay. I think there is kind of, there are almost pacing issues just in the way that, like, after his version of, like, Wolf of Wall Street, like with, like, falling asleep kind of thing, and him being woken up by them yelling action. Like, after he accidentally hits himself. What did he... He just kind of knocked himself out, right?
The toxin. He wiped the toxin on his head.
So I thought that scene was great. And then I just think it kind of almost hit a wall of comedy. And then just wasn't really funny. That as funny again until the acid trip. And then... But I generally really like kind of like them trying to write a screenplay. I thought that was kind of a fun idea. I felt that was kind of inspired.
Yeah, and I don't know, for any movie that name drops John Woo and calls him a maestro, I think you have to bring the action when the action comes up at the end. And I just, like I said, I think the action was pretty poorly done in this film.
They hailed Paddington 2 as a maestro and they didn't bring Paddington in.
And also, but this movie didn't make you want to be a better person, did it?
Nope.
And maybe
checking on Paddington 2, the tomato meter is 99%, not 100.
Oh, right. Wasn't that, because I sent you a thing like a while ago because it was 100% because Citizen Kane dropped to 99%.
Now so, Paddington 2 has two.
Oh, okay. What's the greatest film of all time then? Because isn't is unbearable? Is this film 100% on Rotten Tomatoes?
I think it's the Hayner Christmas special.
Yes, ooh, absolutely.
The first one or the second one?
Well, it's I watch both every time, so I just continue as one big movie, part one and part two.
Yes.
Wait. I can't tell the difference.
Heavily anticipating the third.
Nothing wrong with carrots and cookies. That's all I know.
I don't know if I watched the second one yet.
Well, damn you. Damn you, sir.
I've watched it 24 times.
Doug, just one question for you, buddy. Will you marry me?
Not after that revelation.
Okay. We were done talking about unbearable weight, right?
Yeah, well, okay. Bob's not here, so we're okay.
Jesus Christ. Get bodied. Oh, my God. Marry Me, directed by Kat Cairo, based on the graphic novel by Bobby Crosby, written by John Rogers, Tammy
Wait,
Sanger.
There's a graphic novel?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Who released this crap?
Self-published.
Really?
That I was actually going to talk about that instead of the movie.
Okay, well, no, we won't. I won't look it up. I'll wait you to talk about it. I'm dying to hear this.
And starring Jennifer Lopez, Owen Wilson, Maluma, Michelle Buteau, John Bradley, Sarah Silverman, and Chloe Coleman. Yes, resident rom-com hater.
Yes.
Start us off.
That's him, not me.
Well, I'll start it off by saying I did not really care for this movie. It wasn't made for me. It's a perfectly fine rom-com. If that's what you like, I personally don't. But what I did find interesting was that it is actually based on a graphic novel. And how I found out about this was I followed John Rogers on Twitter. And he tweeted about it. He said the way this movie came about is because he was walking around a Comic-Con. I think it was San Diego. Could have been New York, just one of the big ones. And he was just walking around Artist Alley because he was there to promote one of his comics or movies or TV shows. And he saw that somebody was selling this book called Marry Me. So he bought it, read it, and ended up buying the rights to make this movie. So not every comic book movie has to be superheroes. Not every comic book movie that isn't superheroes has to be ultra serious, like A History of Violence or something like that. It could just be fun, romantic rom-coms. And I thought that was a really kind of inspiring story. If you actually go out, complete the work that you're doing and get it out there, you never know what will happen. So this person just in Artist Alley all of a sudden has a Hollywood contract now with people wanting to make a movie out of their book. And I think that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sorry, did you want to continue with your thoughts as well?
My thoughts are basically that this movie's not for me. I thought it was utterly predictable from beginning to end. If you've seen one rom-com, you know how it goes. They start off not liking each other. And then, spoilers, they end up really liking each other by the end.
Sometimes it ends with a math contest.
And a big radio hit.
Well, I am shocked. I did look this up. Doug just told me. I looked at the cover. It's some company I've never heard of, so it's obviously self-published, which is fine. Okay, I think I like this a little bit more than Doug does. Norman Wilson did not annoy me. I am absolutely shocked he did not annoy me. I actually enjoyed Sarah Silverman immensely in this film. I thought, as always, they find a perfect place for Sarah Silverman. Supporting actress category, every time works wonderful. Lead actress cannot carry a film. And yes, she's tried. I've seen them. They're bad.
When is the last lead she had? Saving Silverman? No, she wasn't.
I've seen that movie,
too.
That's a Jack Black movie.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph.
I'm gonna wreck it.
Okay, but I'm talking some of the comedies. I can't remember what it's even called. Doesn't matter. So I like this film. I mean, is it possible? No, definitely not. Because it has too many of the similar tropes that we have in every other film. But I liked Owen Wilson's kid. She was good. Like, Gordon, decent parts. My problem is the second half of this film, it just sort of dies. It just has to pick up all the cliches it left in the beginning of the film untouched. Oh, crap. We are going to wrap this up. Oh, my God. Let's break them up. Because we all know they have to break up. But I thought the promise marrying me was like, sure, okay, I'll do it. And they tried, which I didn't expect to happen. I thought there might be a little demonic twist. Well, not really, but I was hoping. But I think this film, if you like rom-coms, is solid. It does a good job. It does what it's supposed to do. It wraps up nicely. I like when she has to sit in third class or whatever to go fly to meet him. I like how she makes an effort. I like how the roles are kind of reversed. It's not the guy chasing the girl. It's the girl chasing the guy. I thought that was kind of cute. I thought parts of this worked. I even thought J-Lo worked for this. It just, it's not a good film. Doug is right. It's your basic rom-com in the end. The laugh half shows that for you. But if you like rom-coms or you need something to watch with your wife, you're not going to throw up after this one. It's definitely watchable. That's all I'm saying.
So you didn't Ralph?
I did not Ralph.
You didn't wreck it, Ralph? Okay.
You did not wreck it.
Yeah, no, actually, I think it is, like, I think, unironically, I think it's a pretty okay film. I just...
Just pretty okay. All right.
It's pretty all right.
Hey, Doug, it was okay.
It was sweet. Sorry. I like rom-coms. So for me, this was solid. Kind of reminded me of Lizzie McGuire movie, just with like normal person, superstar. If you've seen them, don't give me that face. Have you seen
Lizzie McGuire? I have seen Lizzie McGuire. Thank you.
There do be similarities.
Are you trying to name a film I haven't seen? Got to work harder than Lizzie McGuire.
Before this is probably Mean Guns.
What are you talking about? We're talking about Marry Me.
No, I just mean like before this episode, you probably hadn't seen Mean Guns.
Doesn't matter now, does it? You can't name it.
Okay. But anyway, no, yeah, I like this movie. I liked Chloe Coleman. She was good in My Spy.
My Spy was a flaming piece of crap.
Oh, I like My Spy.
Of course you did.
I like a lot of things. That's okay though. Where's my train of thought? Yeah, nobody I like cares. This. If okay, buddy. It felt like a mid-2000s movie, like ending with the math club kind of thing. And I generally just thought it was cute, like the whole relationship with I think Jennifer Lopez chooses her rom-coms pretty well. Giggly third jerky time. But you know, I thought this was a good choice role for her. And I thought the whole aspect of social media and like the power it has and them just unplugging and just being like, okay, like let's not make this into a big media frenzy. Let's actually try to make this real. And just obviously that's going to be where the conflict comes from. And I kind of, if I can buy the conflict, I usually like the movie, at least when it comes to rom-coms. And I bought it for the most part. I mean, that was probably the only time Owen Wilson like annoyed me a little bit. But, you know, I totally get the self-sabotage aspect of people guilty of it at times. So I thought that was interesting. And like, wow, it's Owen Wilson, you know? So I liked it. It's a pretty okay movie.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is pretty okay? A 6?
Yeah. Yeah, like a, you know, like a 6 with like a little yay kind of thing. Not
so
quite.
If you order a 6-pack Happy Meal and get 7 McNuggets, is that like okay or is that like great?
No, that's amazing.
Yeah,
you're only expecting it's basically like if you got, you know, ordered a 6-pack and like the 6th one was really small, it'd just be like, that's kind of disappointing, but that's still okay. It's still 6.
Okay.
I don't fucking know.
Well, way, do you ever have to choose between the 6 McNugget meal and the 20 McNugget meal? Ooh. Or do you die afterwards? Choose or die?
I would die if I ate 20, I think. So yes, we will choose or die, and it's probably going to be the latter. Directed by Toby Meekins, written by Simon Allen, starring Iola Evans, Asa Butterfield, with the voice of Robert Englund, Angela Griffin, Ryan Gage, and Eddie Marson.
I guess my turn to start for a change. Yeah. I don't know what to say about this other than it had a good premise, but it didn't go anywhere with it. I really liked the idea. I'm like, okay, it's kind of interesting. And I had to watch over 2 days, not because I hated it, just because of people coming into the room while I was trying to watch it. My daughter's like, what are you watching? And something you can't watch. Pause. A few minutes later, I get 20 more. My wife comes in. I'm like, okay, I give up. It's just not going to happen. Which did not take me out of the film. I like the lead actress. I didn't mind her. I just wish she had more to do, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I kind of thought the stupid one with her mom and the rat was just bizarre. I like the broken glass one. I thought that was kind of good.
Yes.
But I didn't like the rat. And the third one, she has to kill her friend, doesn't she?
Can't even remember. I think her
friend dies in the third one.
That was the fourth one. That was the fourth one before the boss battle.
Yeah, she has to choose between her dead sibling or her friend.
Who's alive.
Right.
So not much of a choice.
Yeah.
And the boss battle was kind of fun. I did enjoy that. My favorite part of this movie is when they actually explain to me what the hell is going on. I actually enjoyed that scene. I'm like, all right, finally, somebody tell me what is going on. And then I felt it wrapped up too quick. I've kind of felt over. I'm like, well, couldn't we have had some of this exposition a little bit earlier? Or maybe her exploring that exposition and getting a little more deeper, maybe going after this guy? And none of that seems to sort of happen. You know, I did like all the scenes when they weren't actually playing the game. I thought were more interesting than the gameplay. Like them exploring how they built it and all that. I thought that was interesting. But I wish I could say more about the film. It's dull. You have nobody really to root for. The games are kind of eh. Yeah. It was really funny. I was thinking going, wow, I really wish I could be watching Escape Room 3 right now. Like, that's what was running through my head. I'm like, did somebody just watch Escape Room one day and made a quick plot and go, let's make this? I thought it was poorly shot. Everything looked way too dark at times. I really felt they needed to dig a little bit deeper into things.
Yeah.
I thought the ending was a cop-out, the way they took out that guy that was after her mom. Mm-hmm. That she became a killer. I'm like, I didn't see that from her. I understand she was upset with her situation, but I can't see her going to that point.
And then they kind of twist it as her, like, oh, now it's your superpower.
Yes.
Yeah. I think this movie was kind of wasted potential, to be perfectly honest. It felt like it really wanted to be gruesome, like the opening where the son gets his tongue cut out, but you don't see it. The whole glass-eating scene, that was the one scene that really kind of riveted me because I was like, oh, they're actually going to go for it. And then immediately after that, it got much tamer. Tamer so much in the fact that the rat scene, you don't even see. You just hear and see little computer graphics.
Yeah.
It was just really wasted potential for me. It could have been so much more than it was. I think it was probably budget constraints. It had a very small cast. A lot of the scares were done through noises and not really visuals. I don't know. I don't think it'll end up on my top 10 worst of the year, but it might be in the top 20 worst of the year for me. It just wasn't very good.
Yeah. And I mean, they could only afford Robert Englund's voice. They couldn't actually get him. I wish they, you know, if they would have got him as the game master or something, or like to get delivering the exposition, I think that would have been really, really something. Like, instead of just this random guy being like, hey, I can cut myself, but it cuts you. I didn't really think that made all that much sense, but it made for a fun, like, villain battle with Eddie Marson. So that was kind of cool. Like, I didn't really understand why he was the final boss, just because he's like, okay, I'm the last player. But it was still kind of interesting, and just seeing those character dynamics with that, like, that family. But, like, I almost think he would have made a more... I wish the characters were more interesting. I wish they had more depth here, because it's like, okay, like, it seems like they actually gave thought into her character. Okay, she's in an abused family dynamic. Her mom won't leave this guy. She's weirdly afraid of rats who just turn into giant ones and eat her. But she's just not really an interesting person. And it's just like, hey, you want to go to a bar and play this weird game from the 80s at 2 in the morning? And then the game's just going to be really punctual, and it's just going to torment us at 2 a.m. It's just, she's just not very interesting. And it's just, yeah, I totally agree. Like, wasted potential. And it's not a good move. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you, what you're saying. And I'm saying the whole point of this premise is at the beginning that people are playing games to find treasure that was on the leftover from the 80s.
Yeah, it's because I guess it was such an obscure game. It seems to me that there wasn't enough copies printed. And it was like, hey, you could get this obscure game and win $125,000. And then...
Was that stated?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, at the very beginning, I think.
Yeah, and then...
they never followed up on.
No.
Yeah, then you kind of take it that they didn't make many copies because it was Eddie Marson's job to distribute it. And then he'd be able to stop playing for the time being.
It's just weird premise. Yeah. I just think...
Did you guys ever see Stay Alive? Like, from the early 2000s with Frankie Muniz, and the Count of Baroness is the villain?
I did not.
I might have, but I can't guarantee it.
It's not a good movie, but as a kid, it scared me, and it's kind of a similar
direct-to-video or theatrical release?
Theatrical.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Okay. You might have seen it. It's from 2005, so a bit of a while ago.
I watch a lot of movies.
Yes, no, yeah, for sure. Wait, you watch movies, man?
No, not usually. John Travolta's Staying Alive. There's no Frankie Muniz called Staying Alive.
Stay Alive.
Oh, Stay Alive. Continue on. I'm going to look it up.
Okay. We will go to the next one.
2006.
Are you guys ready to feel the
I can't find this movie with Frankie Muniz. I can find a movie from 2006 called Stay Alive with John Foster and Samara Armstrong.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, Muniz doesn't even get a credit.
Muniz is like the fifth, sixth actor on it. Third actor. Jimmy Simpson.
You're right, he's third.
Sophia Bush is in it too.
Mina, Sophia Bush, there's no way I would have watched this thing.
It's not good at all, but...
I'm looking for theatrical box office.
Teenage Me thought it was kind of fun. Probably like $25 million. It could have bombed.
No, this did not get a theatrical release. Oh, here we go. 700,000. 7 million. No, I can't say I've seen this. Found something I haven't seen.
Ooh, everybody take note. Everybody take note. I think this is from the Blockbuster days. I think I rented it or saw it on like the Movie Network or something.
Did you have a jumbo video?
I did, yeah. And they had the best popcorn.
Best popcorn.
I was like, ooh. Blockbuster.
I'm like, what are these Canadians talking about? Jumbo video? There's no jumbo video. We don't have that. You probably had Hollywood video.
Like, you didn't even have to rent anything and you could just get free popcorn, right?
Correct.
Oh, damn.
Doug, you wander in the store and there's like a gigantic popcorn machine. And they had a gigantic gumball machine too.
I don't know if we had gumballs.
So if you got a gumball and you got, I think it's a white gumball, it's been a long time, you got a free movie rental at my location. Okay.
Oh, really?
But I just go in for the free popcorn and spend half an hour looking for a movie and then fill up about two or three more times I was there.
You know, 2022 would be a better year if we had still had Jumbo Video.
Any video store I'd be happy with. There are none left in my neighborhood. Zero.
You know what? That makes me, I can't think of a transition, but that makes me dead heat. Makes me kind of fuck my life. Oh. I'm so sorry. We're just going to move along fast then. Dead heat. Directed by Mark Wolpott, written by Terry Black, starring Treat Williams, Joe Piscopo, Lindsay Frost, Darren McGavin, and Vincent Price.
Joe Piscopo.
Sure.
Yeah.
Piscopo.
Eddie Murphy must have seen this movie and said, Beverly Hills Cop has got to be better than this.
Oh, for sure he would have.
Yeah.
Like Zombie Cop.
Oh my God, this is a flaming pile of garbage. I watched this. I'm like, there's some nice makeup in this movie. I'll give it good makeup at times. Okay. But this storyline is beyond thin. It's like literally Doug's son goes, and his buddies are sitting on a Saturday afternoon discussing a project they could film at some point in their life and write it down, point form notes. We'll do the dialogue later. And that's literally how I felt. I'm like, this is terrible. That opening scene makes no sense at all. Then they go to the cop. When they run the bank robbers with the car.
Oh.
I'm like, why?
Jewelry store robbers,
whatever they were doing. Terrible. And then they take them back, and the cop goes, because you guys are such good cops, I'll let you go. I'm like, why? What do they do right here?
Murder people.
And then he sends them over to the... Somehow they discover that they need to go to this place. And then he gets locked in a room. Like, literally, he gets locked in a room. He comes... Gets whatever they do to him. He becomes a zombie. I'm like, I can't watch this. Watching Joe Piscopo try to form a sentence was painful. And I actually like Treat Williams. So this was rough. And it just kept going. And I'm like, was Lindsay Frost always this bad? I seem to have fond memories of her actually having an acting career. But maybe I'm wrong. I can't remember. She did some other movie, Dracula movie, I think I know her from. But I'm watching this. I'm like, did I ever see this? Because if I did, I've forgotten the whole thing. And I'm sure I would have because I love Treat Williams. And it just goes from there. And I'm like, is there an actual plot ever going to form here? No. We're just going to have Joe Piscopo attempting to act badly, continuously. Treat Williams, I think, is making up his lines. And Lindsay Frost has got the ugliest 80s power suit I've ever seen in my life.
And then Vincent Price comes in at the end and is like, hey, do you want eternal life?
Oh, well, before we get there, that ambulance chase, when he's the zombie and he's escaping, he lets the ambulance go down the street. I'm like, what's the point of this?
There was an ambulance chase? I can't remember any of this movie.
There's an ambulance that goes down the hill. And he keeps taking out cars as he goes. I'm like, because he's in the back as a zombie and he can't escape. So he needs a way to get out. So he releases the emergency brake on the ambulance.
I think, you know,
he kills the guy somehow.
I'm pretty sure this whole movie was just kind of like at the start of every day, they showed up and the first 2 hours was just watching RoboCop and was like, okay, guys. Suggestions, what can we take from this? What did we get? What inspiration did we find? What can we film today?
I'm telling you, this is a piece of crap.
Yeah, okay, I thought it would be fun because it was comedy horror. There's no comedy.
You like this? Okay. Good.
No, I did not like this, okay. But I want to see the sequel because the movie ends with our two leads being zombies. And just walking off into the sunset. I want to know what happens next.
I mean,
do they become homeless drifters living under a bridge? Or
are you kidding me? You really want to sit through a part two of this?
Only if they're homeless drifters living under a bridge eating people.
You can write it.
You can write it. I think, look, they're bringing back so much. They brought back Red Dawn as a remake. You could do Dead Heat 2. I mean, I don't think
Joe Piscopo's busy. He might be up for it.
I don't think Treat Williams is busy either.
They might not even need makeup anymore to look like zombies.
And I mean, all you have to do is kind of put their careers under like that machine and get them back, and then you're all good. Yeah, sorry about this one, guys. I thought, you know,
I was thinking. I'm looking at Treat Williams right
this
now.
This wasn't even the worst movie on the list.
No, we're getting there.
Thank you.
Oh, we're getting there. Oh, I lied. Treat Williams was in Mighty Orphans, which I did see in 2021.
Oh, yes.
He did one episode of Blue Bloods, or maybe still on Blue Bloods. I don't know. Now he's on some TV show called Cheapsteak Shores. Never heard of it. And Chairman Christmas House 2, Deck Those Halls, TV movie.
Classic.
And he's in We Own the City. So he is still working.
Oh, good for you, Treat.
Treat? For you. Better projects, please, because I actually like you as an actor.
Joe Piscopo, on the other hand, took my order at McDonald's last week, so.
Well, I thought he did.
I thought you were serious for a second. I was like, oh, wait, did you? Like, is that what he did after his career?
Well,
I believe it.
Hang on. Little do you guys know, Joe Piscopo thought he was a stand-up comedian at one point.
Okay. Did you see him in Montreal?
I saw him in Montreal. I never saw him do his routine because I never gave a crap. Okay, Joe Piscopo is still working also.
Doug, I feel like you could convince us.
He did Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, something called How Sweet It Is. Oh, here's his 2006, so he's just, I don't know where he's been doing. It's like gaps of 7 years. Dead Lenny in 2006 is getting a 2.9. How Sweet It Is 2013, 2018, but he's got two upcoming projects. Something called Spring Break 83 in production and in development, High Roads, Low Roads. So Joe Piscopo is taking Doug's order at McDonald's.
Good for you, Joe. See, but like Doug can convince us that Joe Piscopo would actually work at McDonald's, but Joe Piscopo is not a good enough actor to convince us he could work at McDonald's.
That's very true.
From Jersey.
Jersey.
I think that was his Saturday Night Live character. I don't even remember.
He was terrible on that show, too. He was on the bad cast and got all fired, wasn't he?
I just remember him with Eddie Murphy.
I think the whole cast got fired other than Murphy. Or maybe I had the wrong one. My buddy of mine that passed away a few years ago would be correcting me right now if he was on the show. Eddie Murphy's a genius. He stayed away from this load of crap.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Only to do other loads of crap later in his career. But
Dave.
What was that? 1,000 words or whatever?
That's the one I was trying. I couldn't remember the word, too. I go, the one with the tree with the leaves on it.
Yeah.
And Meet Dave was pretty shit, too.
Oh, Norbit. Norbit has some funny scenes in it.
You know,
it is a terrible film. But when he's going down the water slide, it's pretty good.
Me and my I saw that when I was 14. Me and my buddies sometimes still go, "How you doing?"
What happened? We are totally off the rails.
Yeah, that's fine. Wait. I mean, Kevin isn't here to control us.
Too bad for Kevin.
Is it time to bring out the mean guns?
Thank you. I was gonna be like, he's gonna come in here with the mean guns.
That's the best transition of the evening. Maybe we should let Doug host.
Yes. You're allowed, Doug. Directed by Albert Pian. I'm sorry, Albert. Written by Andrew Wetham, starring Christopher Lambert, Ice-T, Michael Halsey, and Deborah Van Falkenberg. Now, I found this one because I wanted to put a Battle Royale movie on, and I was like, hey, it was on a list of like Battle Royale movies, and I was like, it doesn't sound like anyone's heard of that, and there's a reason for it, because it's a piece of shit. And,
good. So I'm not the only one. This was painful.
It's basically, you know, there's no squibs or anything. It's basically, like you said on the last film, Simon, you and some buddies making it, but it's basically, hey, you guys want to play cops and robbers with cap guns? And there's no rhyme or reason to any of the characters, not really any continuity of who's getting killed, how many people are in this building. It's just a bunch of thugs and Ice-T really just overacting and being like, hey, I want in on the fun too.
It was wannabe Tarantino so bad.
Yes.
Just quirky dialogue. It wanted to be Tarantino so bad, it even threw in casual racism when it had the blackface towards the end.
Did it have blackface?
Yeah, when the briefcase blows up in that woman's face and she comes back like a cartoon and her face was all covered in black soot.
I didn't even think that, you know, to me that didn't even seem problematic, but now that you bring it up,
Not problematic. Problematic, this movie sucks balls.
Oh, it does.
At a runtime of an hour and 50 minutes.
Was it an hour 50?
Hour 50!
It was long.
I could barely finish this.
Yeah, but I mean,
this one took me 3 days. Like 20 times. My kids are like, you still watching this, Dad? Why are you watching this? You don't look like you're liking this. I have to finish the movie.
You can blame me on this one. That's
fair. Oh, my God. Now, my question,
I do have a question.
Sure.
Was that little girl, was she raped before this movie?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. Why is she here?
Didn't Ice-T say, we all know what happened to your daughter and why, you know, you wanted revenge?
I thought his daughter was dead. And this is just was this just a random girl?
No, that's not his daughter. You're talking about Lambert. That's not his daughter.
No, but he could.
And for some reason she wants Ice-T or the villain guy to kill Lambert.
I could not figure that out. I think Lambert's a pedophile. And that's his thing is.
See, I read Wikipedia.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Because I was so confused. And what they said, what Wikipedia says, and now remember, anybody can edit it, so this could be true or not. Lambert took that girl from a couple he was hired to kill. So he killed the mother and father and took the girl. Uh-huh. But that he had an affair with the woman he killed, and that is actually his biological daughter.
Where was that in the movie?
They didn't want to.
I don't know. That's what it said on Wikipedia.
Somebody made that shit up, because I watched the movie trying to figure out some points that made sense, and there were zero.
They didn't want to spend any time on the plot. They were just like, no, we're too busy just having people fall down after they might have been shot with a gun.
Let's go back to this, okay? The woman, not Deborah, whatever. I know her from Warriors. As soon as I saw her, I'm like, that's the chick from Warriors. As soon as I see her, sure. I recognize her. The other one, the gun mall. I'll call her the gun mall because I don't really know her name.
The one that wanted, she had blackmail on someone.
Right? I don't know. She spent way too long in the film, and she kept jumping from one guy with a gun to another guy with a gun.
Oh.
She's one of the last few.
Is that the one that got the blackface? The explosion?
The blonde? Yes. Okay.
How? No, she's the brute. Maybe she's the blonde. She is terrible. Oh, my God. I'm like, can they recast her right now? Like, literally, spice somebody else in there. I'll take Daniel in a blonde wig. Could have done a better job than that.
Thanks, buddy.
Was beyond awful. She was killing me. Every time she's on screen, I'm like, why are you speaking? Please stop talking. Whatever it is you have to say, I have no interest now in. And she kept, man, just this film was awful. Like, he basically puts everybody in my room, drops his gun, says, go. I'm like, go where? Can you what's going on here? And it kind of could have, if they took out the first 10 minutes and maybe gave us Ice-T planning this. Yeah, maybe showing us some notes going through the mail or some envelope saying, hey, show up here.
Yeah.
Something. Rewrite this beginning with a narrative or just explain to me what the general premise is. I would have been happier.
Yeah. Like,
and those action scenes all were terrible. Need to be reshot. It's literally like guys going, pew, 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 pew. I'm like, that guy's dead. and he kills somebody? I'm like, no, no. That guy had no coverage in that hallway. Zero. And then the other guy randomly gets up because he's behind the barricade protecting, gets up and gets shot. I'm like, why are you getting up? You clearly should have shot that guy and the dumb girl. But no, we got to get up and shoot you because you're not living till the end.
And then people just running up the stairs and just getting shot in the back.
It was bizarre. So many bad filming choices here.
And why was Ice-T even a part of it? If he was the one sent to give the rules, why was he going to be put up for sacrifice as well?
My argument is, why is he still there? Why did he not leave?
I guess it was just because the syndicate wanted him dead too.
So, well, my argument is, all he's got to do is go outside the place, set up three cars with cash in them, and when they win, go, hey, car number one's got money, car number two has money, car number three has money. But no, he set up booby trap ones.
Ooh, it's a booty trap.
But my argument is, why did they shoot him as soon as he walks out? Like, he put you through all this, you let him walk?
And are the snipers up on the roof, how do they know when the game ends? Are they just still hanging out up there?
They must be. They're helping Joe Piscopo. They probably put an order into McDonald's waiting for Piscopo to bag it. Yeah. Like, who knows? This movie has so many fundamental flaws with dialogue, pacing, editing, bad acting. General confusing to me being an hour and 50 minutes and I don't understand what you're going for. That's a problem.
Oh, and I won't defend the film, but it's interesting because this predates like the Japanese film Battle Royale from 2000. So maybe they just were like, okay, hey, this is a cool concept from history. This would be cool to make a movie out of. And they just really put no thought whatsoever into the plot at all or how it could happen, because it could have been an interesting movie in this, but instead it's just, hey, let's make a piece of shit.
I think it was probably they just had access to a location and had very little money with which to do anything.
Did $2 million at the box office.
Oh, really?
And I didn't know Christopher Lambert speaks in the same voice all the time. Yeah, I always thought that was just the Raiden voice. Nope, that's what he speaks like all the time. I had no idea.
I really want to watch Highlander now.
Highlander is phenomenal, but it's well written.
But it also is incredibly 80s and very so cheesy good. At times.
It's so much is fun.
Is that the one where, like, he's followed down the alley and the people are going, like, McCloud? Is that
that might be Highlander 2.
I was thinking
that might be The Quickening. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is a complete piece of crap.
Because, like, that's one thing I remember my dad watching when I was a kid, and I just hear it. I was like, oh, that's kind of funny.
I have seen all the Highlander movies, including the TV movies.
I think I've only seen the first three.
And they're rebooting that with Superman.
Henry Cavill?
That's it.
Ah, cool.
Are we done? We finished everything? Great. Yeah, I'm out of here. So if they make it,
we will.
We will watch it for some reason. Because Daniel makes us.
Correct. Au revoir. Good night. I'll be
Zen. Dub to marry me.